Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the 10-12, the podcast that covers all 10 teams in the Big 12 Conference. I'm your host, Philip Slavin. Thank you for joining us on this Monday. Ooh, man, what a freaking weekend we have to talk about. Andy, unfortunately, cannot join us today. He's had some, I guess, not travel. He got stuck in traffic. That's what it is. Luckily, though, I am not alone. You're welcome. Don't worry. My good friend Jamie Steyer is here. Jamie.
Yes, hello. I'm here. It's been a weekend. We were talking about it before we started recording. We've got all sorts of interesting stuff to talk about, and I don't know if I have any coherent thoughts on the matter because I don't think anything that happened was coherent, but I'm happy to be here.
I'm already off to a great start, Jamie Steyer Johnson, JSJ. You know, some habits are hard to break. I still call some of my good friends from like high school who are good friends still.
It happens.
By their like last name.
Well, and when
like,
I go,
oh, yeah,
by
you've been married for a decade, so
like when I still use both of them, like it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you bailing me out. Yeah, we got three games this past weekend. We got a few future Big 12 teams we want to talk about, and a few other things as well. So why don't we just hop right in with the games that were let's build to Red River. I think that one needs a little bit of time. And we'll roll these fairly quickly. TCU 52, Texas Tech 31. I was shocked by the final score, but not necessarily shocked by who won this game. Like, Texas Tech is probably going to make it to a bowl game. I do think they'll nab two more wins, but I don't think this is a situation where like they started 4-1. Like, I don't think that's like, oh, that means they're going to go 9-3.
There's still a skid in there potentially.
Oh, I absolutely think so. And look, I'm not going to buy like congrats. You beat Houston, who I think if you played again now, you might lose to, but whatever, it's a win. Stephen F. Austin was a struggle. Florida International, cool. You got housed by Texas, beat a West Virginia team that we now can confirm is bad, especially on offense. And then got not beat as soundly as the final score indicates, but beat by TCU. Like the mistakes were there. Everything that could go wrong for Texas Tech in this game pretty much did. And they found the offense late, but it was too little too late. And now they sit here at 4-2. Again, they're two wins away from reaching a bowl game. You've got a road game at Kansas. You've got Kansas State on the schedule. I'm not selling my Kansas State stock, but I'm not sure yet. You've got home games against Iowa State and an Oklahoma State team that I'm still not bought in. I'm like, they'll get to six wins. I don't look at the rest of the schedule here for Texas Tech and go like, oh, no, it's fine.
Yeah, it's funny because, I mean, we talked last weekend about how, you know, you have all these ideas of what teams could be, but we didn't quite have enough evidence to come to conclusions. And there's very few conclusions we can even draw from yesterday. And like one of the games that I think gave us the least information is this TCU Tech game. Like, sure, yeah, TCU played pretty well. They put up a bunch of points. But like you said, I mean, Tech's got a lot of games ahead of them that I think are more, I don't know, consequential is the right word, but they're definitely more deterministic. They definitely show us more of what's ahead rather than what's behind them. You know, there were fewer toss-ups behind them or fewer even competitions behind them than there are ahead of them. And so I don't know. I think it's funny to see some of those like vintage Big 12 scores going up. Like, I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it was maybe one of our friends over at Horns and Horses that was like, oh yeah, these are some Big 12 scores, baby. Like, we've kind of gotten away from it for a while, but then of course, you know, you just have score after score after score, which is of course entertaining in its own right. But yeah, I mean, it was crazy. Obviously TCU just really handled them from the very beginning, start to finish, never really looked like they were in much danger at all.
No, I mean, this game didn't really ever feel close from the get-go. I don't think this is an indication like TCU suddenly amazing. Mm-hmm. Texas Tech put up 500 yards of offense and lost by outgained TCU, which is why like total yards and total offense and things just don't mean a whole lot. Again, Texas Tech is not the worst team in the Big 12. They're not the ninth worst team. Like, I still think this is a decent team, but like, they're going to make a bowl game. And if that's enough for Matt Wells to keep his job, then great. Cool. But I don't see things here from Texas Tech that make me go, you know what, this season, build off of this, grow from this. Like, okay. Like, make a bowl game, we'll see what happens. As far as TCU goes, 3-2 now, get their first win in conference play and avoid a really, really rough start for TCU. But again, I come away from this not thinking like, okay, TCU's got this figured out now. More to say like, okay, well TCU kind of does this to Texas Tech a lot, and TCU beat Texas Tech and is better than Texas Tech. I don't come away from it going like, huh, TCU, they got this thing figured out. They're about to go on a big run. Like, they're going to Oklahoma this week, and they're going to play in primetime. Like, okay.
You want to talk about, like, numbers, though. How wild to score 52 points with 100 yards passing. Like, that's kind of wild.
Yeah. I mean, if Tech's going to give up all those yards on the ground, so be it.
Do what works, but... I mean, well, an 8-for-10 passing too. Like, it's not even that, oh my gosh, we just couldn't get anything going on the passing game. It's just that the rush game was that wide open.
They gave up 336 yards on the ground to Texas a few weeks ago, and then they gave up a grand total of 394 yards on the ground this Saturday to TCU. So one of two things are either true. Either Texas Tech has now faced the two best running backs in the Big 12 and should be fine the rest of the way, or teams should run the ball on Texas Tech. You should run the ball. Look, Texas Tech linebackers are some of the best in the Big 12. They have a great linebacking core. Defensive line is fine. And TCU did that, mind you, with not a great offensive line. TCU's offensive line is not great. And yet, Zach Evans carried the ball 17 times for 143 yards and 2 touchdowns. Kendre Miller, 12 times for 185 yards and 3 touchdowns. I mean... I run the ball on Texas Tech. That's what I'm going to tell you right now.
I was going to say, are we going to see that happen again, or are we saying that those are like our top running backs in the Big 12?
It's going to happen again. They haven't played Iowa State yet. Iowa State yet. Now, Texas Tech, TCU's rushing defense, not great. Texas Tech with 214 yards on the ground. Sir Roderick Thompson continues to be one of the more underrated running backs in the Big 12. I really like him. I think the running back group in the Big 12 this year is going to be really interesting to see who ends up first team. Like, I think Bijan will. Okay. Who's number two? Like, who's the second back? Are we just going to give it to Breece Hall because he's Breece Hall? At this point in the season, I'm not dead set that he's the automatic second running back to be in the first team at the end of the year.
I mean, again, like we've said a million times, like, there's just so many unanswered questions. And so I think part of it depends on what team is performing well and what player is carrying their team to do well. You know, Breece Hall's put up good numbers in some games, but not particularly consequential games. Like, I mean, he's scoring, obviously, in every game, but it's going to come down to obviously what other people are doing. But then when you get into some of those more contentious games, if you can carry your team in some of those close games, I think. But yeah, there's absolutely not a clear cut number two. I hope that Breece Hall comes out to be that one, but not at this particular second.
Yeah. Interesting advanced stats, you know, looking at CFBgraphs.com or CFB-graphs.com. Texas Tech had 12 drives and TCU 7. That's just crazy. Some of this stuff is nuts. Speaking of games where the score was pretty lopsided and it was over early, Baylor 45, West Virginia 20. West Virginia's defense, I still think, is pretty solid. But here's my question at this point with Baylor. Their offense was, you know, everyone was suspect. They played a bunch of Texas State, Texas Southern, and Kansas. Well, and then Iowa State, it was all in the first quarter. Well, then they kind of stunk it up against Oklahoma State, and now they come back and put up 45 on a West Virginia defense that I think is pretty dang good. It's good. I'm not going to allow one game to tell me it's not. But how good is, like, I think we have to wrap our heads around this notion that Baylor actually might be pretty good. Gary Bohannon, I'm going to get his name wrong, so I'm just going to say it both ways here to save myself the trouble. Like, we thought he was 18 for 29, 306 yards and 4 touchdowns. I think he's having a really nice season. I think Baylor's got something to build off of with him. I think Baylor's good. Like, I think Baylor is good this year. They're 5-1. I know the schedule hasn't been amazing. I don't want to read too much into West Virginia, because at this point I'm really concerned for where West Virginia is actually headed this season. But I think Baylor's good.
I mean, like,
I think this is a good Baylor team.
Yeah, they're doing what needs to be done against teams they should beat, and they're putting up pretty dang good performances against teams that they should be close with. And so, I mean, again, you've got, like you said, preseason games, not a whole lot, or non-conference games, not a whole lot to go off of based on those. But I mean, we're several games into Big 12 play at this point. Like, it's past the point where you can say that they're not particularly good. Like, are they great? Are they top the conference? Probably not. But they're absolutely holding their own. They've absolutely put themselves above, you know, the middle of the pack, you know, the top half of the conference, I think. And so it'll be really interesting to see where things shake out. We'll obviously get to next weekend eventually. That'll be super interesting as well. But yeah, it's a really interesting kind of development to see now that we're past week 6 that, yeah, they're looking pretty solid. You know, competition aside, they're doing some pretty impressive things out there. And I mean, especially you look at, like, especially the first quarter, they came out ready to play on Saturday. And so, you know, throwing up those 21 points right away, saying, all right, you know, we're going to take this game over. And that was basically set the entire tone of the game. Nothing ever changed from that pace.
I mean, that's kind of been Baylor's MO for the last few weeks, is big first quarter against Iowa State and then hung on to win. Big first quarter West Virginia, then kind of kept things going. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get anything going against Oklahoma State early. You know, they kind of figured some things out in the second half. But I do think this is kind of a Baylor situation with their offense, where they're gonna have a game plan in that first quarter that's going to be really effective. And can you stop it or limit it?
Yeah.
Or can you take that hit and keep on going? A couple of interesting stats for Baylor. Baylor's really good rushing offense, like, as which is, again, the Big 12 this year, defense and running the ball. It's crazy. According to CFB graphs, offensive EPA per rush, TCU is fourth in the country right now, at 0.246. Baylor is ninth at 0.212. Like, their rushing attacks in the Big 12 are very effective, and they've got a really good one. It's crazy. It's kind of fun. It is kind of the year of the running back in the Big 12. Part of that's just what the offenses are doing, but it's kind of fun to see running backs have the success. Now, look, here's the deal for Baylor. Abram Smith's got the most yards, but I mean, Abram Smith's got 78 carries for 597 so far. Tristan Ebner has 66 carries for 401. Like, Gary Bohannon's carried the ball 39 times. Like, it's more running back by committee, but their running attack is working. Even Tay McWilliams has 17 carries, 181. Like, they're running the ball incredibly effectively. I'll say this. I think that the offensive line coach, and I cannot remember his name, but the guy they pulled from BYU for Baylor has been one of the better coordinator hires in the Big 12 this year. And there are some good ones. I do think they were. I would put him up there. And I can't believe I can't remember his name right now. I'm going to sit here and Google it, because otherwise I'm going to feel really stupid that I can't remember what it is.
Pulling that out of any crevice of my brain.
Eric Mateos, there we go. Very good, very good. Coming over from BYU with Jeff Grimes, the offensive coordinator there. So I think he's been a really good hire for Baylor. Their run game has been very effective. Okay. There have been some really good Red Rivers. There have been some wild and crazy and all over the map Red Rivers. That's one of the best ones ever. And look, I am but a young 37. I actually don't remember how old I am. I'm in the late 30s. That's all that matters. Like, I don't want to ponder this whole query. That's one of the best ones I've ever watched. Like, that game was insane. And oh my gosh, it was nuts. That game was not tech. All right, let's take the Texas side for a minute. All gas, no brakes in the first half. No gas, all brakes in the second. Texas led by as much as 21 points in the first half, 18 at the break. And then credit to Oklahoma's defense. Texas had 38 points at the half. They scored 10 total in the second half. They bowed up. And Texas still got some chunk plays in that second half. But what Oklahoma's defense did was just say, okay, we'll give them a chunk play here and there, but you're not going to actually move the chains like well. Like, Bijan had a great first half, and he was there for the second half. Like, that was about it. They figured out what to do against Texas to say, okay, we're not going to let you just pound us. It's going to be, you get up a big chunk play, that's great, but that's all you're going to get is a couple of those, and the drives are going to stall. And, I mean, credit to Oklahoma defense, the offense, the adjustments they made in the second half. That fourth quarter, and I say adjustments, we all know whose name that is. But like, from Texas, Jamie, I come away from this game going, let's all poke fun at Texas. They blew a giant lead. That is bad. But I don't come away from this game going like, no, actually, Texas is terrible. Like, no, Texas is still quite good, and nothing about that game changes my opinion on that fact. Are they great? No. Can they tackle on defense? Not especially. Is their defense suspect? Yes. But that's a good Texas team. That is a good team, period.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good team if consistent. You know, you come out the gate, you score a bunch of points, you go into the half, and you can't buy point. You know, it's kind of a tale of two halves situation. And obviously a significant portion of that goes to Oklahoma making adjustments. Sure. But I mean, to go from scoring 38 points in the second half to barely putting 10 up on the board in the second, I mean, it's hard to win a game against a great team in that fashion. And so I think that they showed really, really great parts. They just didn't put together the full game. And I mean, all that to say, they still almost got it. You know, they still very nearly pulled it out. If they could have, I mean, a couple plays go a different way, and you know, the game is completely changed. It was still an extremely close game. It still came down to the wire. But I think that it's just a little bit of a lack of consistency, which makes sense when you're in the middle of, I think, somewhat of a, you want to call it a resurgence, you want to call it a rebuild, like whatever they're doing. It's not like they're coming off of the world's most successful season last year. You know, there's been a lot of changes in their program. And so it would be, frankly, way more incredible if they came out and they were not only a really good team, they were really consistent with it. You know, I think they could be a slightly worse team and slightly more consistent and maybe get slightly better results at times. But I think that the flashes we've seen of them speak to how good they could be by the end of this season, even.
Yeah, this is plenty. Again, Sarkisian's been here for 6 total games now. Mm-hmm. They're 4-2. They're 2 losses. You had a big blown lead against Oklahoma. You lost in game 2 against what turns out to be a really good Arkansas team. Like, mm-hmm. at this point, you have to be happy with the job he's done so far. It's not perfect, but it's year 1. Go look at Nick Saban's year 1. Go look at Bob Stoops' year 1. Like, go look at great coaches and their year 1s. And you know what you get a lot of the times? Like, either they walked into great situations already and so they could just keep it rolling, or they walked into bad situations and they got it turned around quickly. Year 1 so far through 6 games, through half of this season, has been a success, because if they replicate this in the back half and finish 8-4, like, I know what Texas expectations for things are, but like, that's a good season in year 1. Like, that is a great year 1. And if he builds on that, it's even going to be better. But for year 1 so far, I know it sucks to lose Red River. I know you hate blowing a lead like that. Like, that is not, that's not good. But like, you can, how they respond to that is what matters.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people use like the terms inconsistent and undisciplined interchangeably, and I really don't think that's the case here. Like, they're inconsistent, they're disciplined, but it's just a lot of changes to have to contend with all at once. And so I think that he's done a really great job with implementing as much as he possibly can, you know, 6 games into the season. I think that they look pretty good. They're just not perfect, and especially against a team like Oklahoma, who, I mean, it's kind of funky as far as like quarterback play and stuff this year, but they're kind of like the epitome of disciplined generally, you know? And so that's a team where you just have way less of a margin for error. I mean, you play a game like that against a lot of other teams and you've got, I mean, a blowout on your hands. Like, some of the plays that Texas was putting up were really impressive. And it's, I mean, it says almost more about Oklahoma than it does about Texas, the outcome of the game, because they did a lot of things really right.
Texas had themselves a stud at wide receiver, Xavier Worthy, 9 catches, 261 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And ooh, he was good. Mm-hmm. Good grief. He was just incredible. Oklahoma has a new starting quarterback, right? Like, Caleb Williams, 16 for 25, 212, 2 TDs. And what's more than just what he did, the spark was amazing and led the comeback. But if you watched what kind of happened, OU's offensive line has not been great this season. OU is a team, like, and Riley is a coach who wants to run the ball. They've ran the ball fine. Part of the reason Kennedy Brooks, to me, was able to be so successful in that second half was because Caleb Williams is much more of a running threat than Spencer Rattler was. Like, you didn't have to, like, teams defensively this year, everyone's like, well, OU's not as good. Spencer Rattler is not a Heisman winning first round pick quarterback like you've had for a few years. You've been spoiled by all that. But, like, that's okay. But the offensive line has been great. And so what defenses have been doing is literally saying, we don't think you can run the ball. Here's the comp. What defenses in the NFL are doing to the Chiefs right now, we're not going to give you the big play. We're going to make you chunk the ball down the field bit by bit by bit and hope you make a mistake. That's what teams have been doing to Oklahoma. And thus far, Oklahoma's continued to win. I think, look, Caleb Williams is a true freshman. There's the risk that he has a bad game and you lose because of it. I get that. But the ceiling, to me, after that game, tells me that the ceiling for OU is higher with Caleb Williams at quarterback than it is with Spencer Rattler at this point. And with everything still in front of Oklahoma, 6-0, okay, shot at the playoff is still there. If that is the ceiling you have for your team this year, then you need the higher ceiling from your quarterback. And I think Caleb Williams gives him that. And I think he's the starting quarterback moving forward. I think everybody thinks that. And at this point, if Spencer Rattler's is the starting quarterback, I think we would all be very surprised, barring an injury to Caleb.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was really telling that as soon as Williams went in the game, and, you know, he scored pretty quickly there, I think, and immediately they were just talking about, you know, the mood on the sidelines, because obviously OU got off to not the best there. And so they were kind of having to scrap and claw back. And, you know, this isn't, you know, a diss against Rattler, but as soon as Williams went in and made some plays and came back out, there was just a very palpable sense of the tide kind of turning. And so, I mean, obviously part of that has to do with scoring and getting good plays going, but I do think that it has to do with the person doing the scoring. You know, you get some fresh blood out there, you make the plays that need to be made. And clearly, I mean, there's a lot of times kind of a disjointment to putting in a backup where you're so used to playing with your starter that, well, maybe some weird things happen and you chalk it up to everyone's not on the same page. It didn't really feel like that. It seemed to be very natural for them all to be out there and them all to be playing together. And it just made everyone look really good when Williams was out there. And so it's really hard to look at that and say, well, yeah, we see all that. We recognize all that, but Rattler has this history. And so he's just going to stay the starter. Like, there were so many positive things demonstrated by Williams being out on the field that it's really hard to say, well, we're just going to call that a fluke and go back to Rattler. Like, that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I think he's the guy. I think everybody thinks he's the guy. Again, if he's not, I'll be shocked. So we'll see what happens next week against TCU. Again, we'll talk about it a little bit more here in a few minutes. Wild weekend, crazy weekend, insane weekend. Oh, Alabama goes down to A&M, which, I mean, if any team is going to beat Alabama, I really wish it was A&M, but here we are. Not a great Saturday for Texas fans. Blow a lead in Red River, and A&M beats Alabama. Not a lot of fun. Sorry, Texas fans. You guys bounce back. I promise. Trust me. I know what's coming this Saturday. I can feel it in my bones. BYU goes down. We're going to talk about them here in just a minute. Iowa beats Penn State. I still don't. Iowa's offense is garbage. It's horrible. And yet here we are with, what are they ranked, second now? The poll came out earlier today. I'm going to pull it up right now because I got to remember if they're number two or number three. And if they're number two, oh, yeah, they're number two. AP poll, coaches poll. Iowa, number two. Just what every Iowa State fan is enjoying seeing right now. Gross. Okay. As weird and wild and wacky as that is, I mean, the only way I know to try and make myself feel better, not with a heavy blanket, but with just something that I can put on that makes me feel comfortable, I can kind of like cozy up with. Just deep breaths to cool myself and calm myself. There's no better place to get the most comfortable t-shirts, sweaters, and hoodies you will find anywhere than Homefield Apparel. The most comfortable vintage college sports apparel you can absolutely find. For Texas, you guys need to feel a little bit better. They've got Texas gear for you. Oklahoma State, you won the Idol Week. Congratulations. Celebrate with an Oklahoma State shirt. Texas Tech, they've got gear for you. You're going to need it. Baylor, celebrate with something for yourselves. Iowa State, you also won the Idol Week. They got you covered. West Virginia, basketball season is going to be here soon, and Huggy Bear is still around. They have more than 100 different schools available, and they're adding new gear all the time. They just added South Florida. They added some new shirts for a few different schools. And of course, they have some of the new Big 12 schools joining us soon, BYU, Houston, and UCF available. So, homefieldapparel.com. Pick out a couple of things. Check them out. When you go to check out, promo code NETWORK12, NETWORK12, get 15% off your first order. All orders of $70 or more get free shipping, because you're never going to go and buy one thing. I don't know, it's like, I bought one shirt. I'm like, Then you didn't look very hard. And by not very hard, I mean you saw one shirt and said, I'm going to put on blinders and only buy that, and just didn't look around at anything else on there. Guys, if you haven't gone yet, and ladies, go check it out. Homefieldapparel.com, promo code NETWORK12, 15% off your first order. All orders of $70 or more get free shipping. Be rocking the most comfortable vintage college sports apparel this football season or basketball season, which is coming up in less than a month now. Yeah. We're going to devote some time. Don't worry. We will devote some time to basketball season. It is coming. By the way, if you are a fan college basketball, which I know most of you probably are. Make sure you are listening to the Midwest Madness podcast, part of the 1012 Network, our Big 12 men's and women's basketball podcast hosted by Christine Butterfield. She does a fantastic job. Absolutely fantastic. She's had some great guests already. She's had a couple of team previews. Midwest Madness, it's available everywhere podcasts are available. Go check it out for yourself.
Hey, y'all, we're Fire the Cannon, part of the 1012 Network of Podcasts. I'm Megan.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Rocky, and we cover all things University of Texas sports.
And a little bit of everything else. College football, NFL, sports news, and of course, our hottest takes on everything in between.
Find us on your favorite podcast platform for new episodes every week. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at FireTheCannon1. That's the number one, y'all.
Thanks for listening to Fire the Cannon.
All right, I want to look at some of the other teams that will be joining the Big 12. As I say, we are engaged, so we might as well just treat them like family, right? Let's give a little bit of time to them. We've been doing some breakdowns of these programs. We had a great interview about Houston. We had a great one about BYU. Past couple of episodes, you can go back and find those. And everybody in action this past weekend. Cincinnati 52, Temple 3 on Friday night. Temple's bad. Temple's bad. And the problem for Cincinnati, the best thing that happened for Cincinnati this weekend was not that they beat Temple by 50 points, 49 points. It's that Notre Dame escaped a close win over Virginia Tech to remain a one-loss ranked opponent, helping Cincinnati out. They need Notre Dame to keep winning if they want to have a shot at the playoff at the end of the year. They are Notre Dame fans, Notre Dame fans, Notre Dame fans. And look, I still don't think Notre Dame is great, but you got to give Cincinnati the credit for that win. We didn't get to talk about that last week, and we should have because it was a huge win for them. But Cincinnati right now, 5-0, ranked third in the country, Nippy poll. They've got a nice test coming up this Saturday against UCF. Now, UCF hasn't been great, but they haven't. They're 3-2 so far, though. They blew a game against Boise State. They lost a game against Navy, which was weird. But, folks, Gus Malzahn is the head coach at UCF. They're going to be prepared for Cincinnati. This is an absolute trap trip-up game because it is still a good UCF team. So Big challenge for them this Saturday. And then they've also got to, just to me, you've got to hope that SMU keeps winning. They've got that game against them down on November 20th. It's the second to last game of the regular season for them. SMU currently ranked 23rd. They're undefeated. They need another win on the schedule. Indiana is not doing them any favors. That was their other Power 5 win. They had that nice 38-24 win earlier in the season. Indiana may not go to a bowl game now. And so that's going to be held against them. Like, you're looking for the reasons that Cincinnati's going to get left out of the playoff besides being a G5 team, right? Indiana is 2-3. I don't see a lot of wins on their schedule. I don't see 4 guaranteed wins on their schedule. So it's going to be a tough stretch for Indiana to even make a bowl game this year, which stinks for them. I really do hate it. So Cincinnati really needs SMU to keep winning.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that we all know when you're outside of the Power 5 is you are done zero favors. Like, you are not completely in control of your own destiny. Like, you need to get a little bit of help from your opponents. And especially, like you say, like, SMU is down the road on the schedule. And so if they can still be looking pretty good and you get that win closer to the end of the season, that's much more top of mind. That would definitely be a huge benefit. But I mean, outside of our kind of wild rivalry game of BYU Boise State, like, our fiancés are looking pretty pretty good there. And I mean, Boise State's not a bad team by any means, and rivalry games get a little bit weird, as we all know, but yeah, kind of crazy. Of course. I mean, yeah. Like, why would anything that happened yesterday not just be a wild result anyway?
BYU, as she mentioned, lost to Boise at home 26-17. Boise just beat them. I mean, soundly. I mean, BYU had opportunities. They got all the way down to the goal line and couldn't punch one in late in the game. Now, look, BYU was without their starting quarterback, Baylor Romney. That's literally his name. It's Baylor.
Really a name. That's a BYU name if I've ever heard one.
Oh, it's the most BYU possible, Baylor Romney. And yes, it is of the Romneys. I thought he was the starting quarterback this season. Was Jaren Hall the starting? I don't know. Jaren Hall played on Saturday. They've had multiple quarterbacks. So forgive me if I don't know who the right quarterback is, okay? I do my best.
We'll get it figured out eventually.
Okay. I'm doing my best. Again, we're engaged. Like, we're the extended family. We're trying to figure out. All we know is through Facebook, right? That's all we know about you, which tells us, you know, some, but not everything. BYU, it's a tough loss for them, for BYU. That was the other team, along with Cincinnati, where you if they could have gone through unscathed, you had an opportunity for one of them to make the playoff potentially. I still think they're up in a good spot for a New Year's Six bowl, but we'll see with that loss. Of course, BYU going to be playing Baylor this coming weekend. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Houston, after their loss to Texas Tech to open the season, has won five straight. Had a slightly tough start to the game against Tulane. They had just a 17-15 lead at halftime, but then pulled away for a 40-22 win. Look, here's the thing for Houston. I don't know if Houston's good. They've beaten Rice, Grambling, Navy, Tulsa, and Tulane. They get ECU this week, East Carolina, and then they play SMU in a game that SMU really needs to win. They might be rounding into form. Dana might be figuring things out at Houston finally. This might be the year for him. But, I mean, they haven't beaten anybody good yet. So that circle that October 30th game against SMU on your calendar. They avoid Cincinnati. So, you know, depending upon what they do against SMU, it may be Houston, Cincinnati in the AAC championship game. It may be SMU, Cincinnati. Those feel like the three teams that two will be there and one will not. Houston's doing what they're supposed to do. Here's always the thing for me, like crushing bad opponents or beating bad opponents. Like I don't like to give people too much credit, but for how often we see teams like play with their food or play bad games against subpar competition, like you got to give a team a little bit of credit for going out and doing what they're supposed to do. And Houston went out and won against a Tulane team that's having a really off and weird year.
Yeah. I mean, it's you can only win the games that you play. You know, like it doesn't. I mean, it does matter. Like who your competition is, but in the season, like you can't change that. And so when you go out and you take care of business, like you have to give people enough credit for that, you know, like they can only win the games that they play. You're not like calling someone up in the middle of the season because I think that your opponent isn't good enough. So no. It is what it is.
Central Florida. Sorry. I just went brain dead for a second. No, they were off this week. No, they weren't. They beat East Carolina. Oh, that's right. Oh my gosh, I forgot. Central Florida 20, East Carolina 16. East Carolina's getting better, but this was not a great game for UCF. Like, again, I think the UCF-Cincinnati game is like a trap game. Because UCF hasn't been great. They did beat Boise. Man, I am... It's really hard to remember everything that's happened this season. That's right. Boise had a big lead. UCF came back and won 36-31. Lost that game to Louisville, where they had the pick six that Louisville scored to get the upset win. Lost a weird game at Navy last week. Beat ECU, who's getting better, but not in a great way. And yet, I still think this Cincinnati-UCF game is a trap game for Cincinnati. It's at Cincinnati, but it's going to be an interesting one. UCF, you know, again, Gus Bus, year one. We'll see what happens. We'll see how he does. UCF, and it feels like a place that should be pretty easy to win at. And of course, it's year one for him, so we'll see how it keeps going. But they're not. This isn't the UCF where we're like, okay, they're going to go. They're just a shoe-in for the American. Like I don't see them winning. I don't see them even making the American title game this season. But we'll see what happens. Again, this coming Saturday, Cincinnati, UCF, 11 a.m. is a big game. It's a big game on ABC.
Yeah. I mean, that's, again, like there's a lot of things that you can't quite draw like a perfect conclusion from. You can say like UTF probably isn't as great as we've seen them be, but they still have the potential to have a pretty good season. There's still a lot of things that we've seen that could give them, you know, some maybe surprising wins compared to the rest of the season. So I think that that'll be definitely one to watch.
College football season is here, and no tailgate is complete without a grill. And no grill is complete without Gridiron Metalworks. go to Gridiron Metalworks, find collegiate branded grill grates and griddles with actual school logos, as well as other awesome metal goods like flower pots, stainless steel bookends, coasters, and can coolers, among other things, all in actual school colors, not just the, it's pretty close like you'll find at other places. Grilling at the game this Saturday? Sear your steak, burgers, brats, or veggies with the perfect Pistol Pete, Baylor Bear, or Kansas Jayhawk grill marks. They've got grill grates and griddles for all 10 teams in the Big 12 Conference. Plus, these are the perfect gift for the hard to shop for. We can almost guarantee you'll find something from Gridiron that someone on your holiday shopping list does not have. These are high quality, custom cut, and made in the USA. And as someone who enjoys turning on the grill during the fall, during football season, during basketball season, and as someone who is a diehard Oklahoma State fan, an Oklahoma State griddle for my grill, fantastic. Right now, when you use the promo code 1012, that's T-E-N, the number 12, T-E-N-1-2, you'll get 15% off your first purchase. And all orders over $100 get free shipping. So whether you're looking for a Kansas State grill grate, a West Virginia griddle, or a unique metal home good for your college football, college sports collection, visit gridironmetal.com. Use the promo code 1012 for 15% off your first order. You can also find the link in our show notes. Gridiron Metalworks for the college super fan.
Your home for everything Kansas Jayhawks is the Rock Chalk Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Metz, and every week we run through the most important stories for all your favorite Kansas programs, whether it's football, soccer, or tennis, volleyball or basketball, baseball and softball, or any other Jayhawk competition, we have it. We have game previews and recaps, interviews with coaches and others close to the team, and analysis from those who pay close attention to all of these programs. You can find us by searching for Rock Chalk Podcast on your favorite platform, so start listening today.
All right, so Jamie, I want to have this conversation because it's something we've talked about on Twitter a little bit this week, and I've seen some of the conversations about. Obviously, we had Red River this past weekend, amazing game, one of the best ever in this rivalry game that's soon going to be part of the SEC and not part of the Big 12. Like, Oklahoma and Texas leave, what becomes the best rivalry game in the conference? Because not only are you going to lose Red River, you lose every game against Texas, and you lose Bedlam, which has been one of the most important rivalry games in the Big 12 for the long stretch. It determined Bedlam, or it determined like the Big 12 champion before the title game came back like 3 or 4 years in a row. Mm-hmm. So we're losing both of those. And so the debate has been like, what becomes the best rivalry game in the Big 12? We have Farmageddon between Kansas State and Iowa State. We have the battle for the saddle, which was the TCU-Texas Tech, which you just had. You have the Butt Bowl between Baylor and Texas Tech. And I know there's the Riot Bowl between Iowa State and West Virginia. I'm still fairly new on that one. That feels like it's a big deal to West Virginia and Iowa State, but not to like everybody else. Because I didn't. Does everybody else know that's called the Riot Bowl?
Obviously, the origin is like the spiritual similarities between ISU and West Virginia that were just the type of college towns to burn couches. But I don't know. I wish that they would maybe formalize, especially Farmageddon. Like, that needs a trophy seasons ago. Like, that is such an oversight. That is such a failed marketing opportunity. Like, make a freaking trophy, sell some t-shirts. Why has this not been done? Like, especially with K-State looking decent this year, like, that should be something that is promoted like crazy and going forward with kind of those opportunities for marquee rivalry games opened up. There is no reason whatsoever that there shouldn't be officials from ISU and K-State like gunning to make that a big time matchup. Like, obviously you're at the mercy of the teams being pretty good consistently, but try. Like, there's no reason why that shouldn't be formalized. And my cat agrees.
Yeah, look, I think that's going to be the best one. You know, I think it will. I will be interested to see what the new holy war looks like between Baylor and
BYU.
Baylor and BYU.
That kills
which we'll
me.
Get our first taste
That's
of this
so
year.
That's so funny.
Does Cincinnati, West Virginia have something that they're going to have brewing? Because, you know, old Big East days.
Who did we have on Twitter giving us like four or five of these? Because those were golden. The what did they say? The like the travel miles one between UCF and,
BYU. Yes.
Oh, that one killed me. That was so good.
The travel miles bowl. That's fantastic. I mean, we had some good, hold on. I gotta like find the original tweet. I can't go back through my Twitter. I ain't got time for that.
Yeah. We got to credit that because that, oh my gosh, I was reading the first couple. I was like, yeah, absolutely. Like Farmageddon. And then I got to like, holy war. I got to travel bus. I was dying.
Yeah. I am intrigued by the potential for some of the new ones. This is part of one of those things where it's like, this is what stings about all this is because we're losing some big classic legendary rivalries. And no offense to Farmageddon or any of the ones coming in, none of them live up to Red River or Bedlam. Have the history of those, have been as impactful as those. And I hope some do. But at this point, I don't. It's all just a fun conversation. So I am.
There's less of a history behind these ones that are remaining.
Absolutely.
By a mile.
By a lot. Again, look, it's shocking that Farmageddon, I mean, Iowa State and Kansas State have played forever. It's shocking that you just now have a name for that. That's still not official. Like, come on, guys, let's get it.
I mean, but part of that, I think, has to come down to, like, nothing mattering when it came to Iowa State football for a long time.
That's true.
Like, that's a crappy thing to have to say, but, like, there were no rivalries because we were terrible.
This is true.
So, it's hard to have a rivalry when it's completely one-sided, which that statement makes me gag because I get that thrown at us from another school. But
I don't know. I can't. I literally cannot find the poll that I ran.
It was our friend K-Bear on Twitter was the one who gave us that little list of Farmageddon, the rivalry between TCU and Baylor. Battle for the Saddle, Riot Bowl, and then coined the Rewards Miles rivalry.
The Rewards Miles rivalry.
He said the
rivalry.
Name is a work in
no,
progress.
That's good.
But I think that's a great one.
All the Texas schools, schools have theirs.
Award could be a little, you know, the little pins that you give to children
the
when they fly
pin.
On a plane. Yeah, all the players get one of those if you win.
Look, like the whole like every Texas school has a trophy with every other Texas school thing is like okay. Like I get it. That's fine.
So played out. Can you really care that much?
Make one trophy that whoever is the best Texas school at the end of each season gets. Like, just do it that way. Because if Houston's coming in, we're gonna have some old we're gonna have some new rivalry things, whatever. But we gotta get some. We've got to come up with some new ones too. Like I feel bad because like OSU's not gonna have anything since Bedlam's gone, and I'm like, well, what we can have is when Dana Holgerson joins again, we'll have the Dana Holgerson bowl, and it'll be a three way between Houston, West Virginia, and Oklahoma State, and we'll just see how that works out. We'll see how that goes. Oh man.
I love it. That's gold.
Thank you.
And it's just a statue of him. That's
no, it is.
Because the key to these is having a good trophy.
Hold on. It is a statue. Yes, you can have a small figurine of Dana, but it has to be made out of Red Bull cans.
Oh.
Because if you've never seen that man chug Red Bull, like they went out of business. It is.
It's like Bill Fenley and Diet Mountain Dew.
It is a sight. Let me just tell you. okay. I have no good segue here. Symbol, our good friends over at Symbol, who are a sponsor here at the 1012 podcast. Symbol is the stock market for sports that lets you invest in teams using your sports knowledge to buy low, sell high, and make some money. And you win every time your teams win. I, of course, have my shares of Kansas State and Kansas. Kansas State was off. I'm really interested in what they can keep doing for me. I am I'm going to tell you this, by Thursday's episode, I'm dropping in the money to buy myself a Baylor share. I'm ready. I should have done it 2 weeks ago when I talked about it. I know they lost to Oklahoma State 2 weeks ago. I don't care. I should have bought it then. The nice win this weekend would have been good. I'm going to do that. Of course, Symbol has NFL, MLB, NBA, and college football. They just added NHL. So if you're a big NHL fan, that's something you want to do, then you should go to Symbol.com. S-I-M-B-U-L-L. Sign up for free. Look around. We, of course, have our pick three that's still going on. If you'd like to join that, just hit us up in the DMs and I'll send you the link. That's 1012 Network at T-E-N, the number 12 of the word network on Twitter, 1012 Pod on Instagram, or, you know, hit us up in the comments. I will let you know how to get the link. Thank you to everybody who's participating so far. But go to Symbol, sign up for free, poke around, see what you think sounds good to you, what looks good to you. When you make your first $25 deposit, use the promo code NETWORK12, N-E-T-W-O-R-K, 1-2, and you'll be entered in to win two free tickets to a Big 12 game of your choosing. Okay, now, we're going to do the giveaway. We're trying to get to a certain number of signups so far. We're still working there. So if you haven't yet, if you haven't even gone and poked around, just go sign up for free and look around. This stuff is fun. Like I am enjoying it. It's not gambling, right? It's a long-term play. If you like playing the stock market, but you don't feel like you're smart enough to do it, me. But if you feel like you're smart about sports, I'm not dumb, and want to be able to make some money off of that, then go check it out. Symbol.app. Symbull.app or .com. Use the promo code NETWORK12. Be entered in to win two free tickets to a Big 12 game of your choosing when you deposit your first $25. Shop around. Start building your portfolio. Start winning some money. Have some fun. I love this stuff. Like, it's so neat. It really is fun. Okay. Jamie, let's wrap up on this. No Andy here, so I thought this would be shorter than this, but here we go. I can ramble. I really can. And I'm really sorry to everybody who's made it this far. No, I'm kidding. We are five games this coming week, four Big 12 games, and the last non-conference game of the season for the Big 12. Jamie, since it's just you and I, there's a lot of big games this weekend to me. There are a lot of big games this weekend. We have, of course, the aforementioned Farmageddon, Iowa State traveling to Kansas State on Saturday night. How excited are you for that game?
Oh, I'm super excited. Honestly, like, I've been figuring out what my plans are going to be to go watch with other human beings, because especially after going to Iowa State and Kansas, I'm like, hey, I got to go watch. I'm kind of leaning towards the Cyclone Fanatic game watch in Des Moines, but we'll see. But no, I'm absolutely ecstatic. I'm nervous. Because these games, these Farmageddon games are a lot, and it's that, like, a past Farmageddon game is one of the biggest, like, instances of football PTSD that the Iowa State fan base collectively possesses. But I think it'll be good. I think it'll be fun. I have to be optimistic because that is just my nature, and I think it'll be a great game.
Yeah, look, both teams coming off of an idle week. Kansas State hopefully taking that time to get healthier, which is a big thing for them. You know, Skylar Thompson should be back feeling a little bit better, feeling healthier. So I think it's a really interesting game. I'm very excited to see how both teams look coming off the week off. 6:30 TCU at Oklahoma. If OU has actually found their run game, if what we think is true about Caleb Williams and they have figured out how to effectively run the ball moving forward, look out, because TCU's run defense is not good. This one could get ugly. My Big 12 title appearance aspirations for TCU are done. I'm just going to say that. Like, they are. I do think this is still a solid TCU team, but I don't like this matchup at all.
Yeah, it's not great. We could be surprised. We've seen lots of weird
things. A&M beat Oklahoma or beat Alabama. So it's not like it wouldn't be the most.
Nothing's out of the realm.
Right.
Of
this is, to quote Josh Pate of Late Night Kick with Josh, this is the Renaissance season. So just be aware that anything now can officially happen. But I will note, seven. Yeah. OU's won the last seven in a row. TCU's last win in this game came all the way back in 2014. So it's been a minute. I mean, TCU's won once since they joined the conference, since they joined the Big 12. Could something crazy happen? Yes. It's still in the time of year where Oklahoma loses a game, and this is coming off of Red River, though typically they don't lose as much after Red River. So, again, it could be interesting. We'll see. Props. Everybody put up a prayer for Andy because Kansas is having homecoming, and they're welcoming Texas Tech. This feels like a get-right game for Texas Tech. It also feels like the last game on Kansas's schedule that they could even really consider maybe trying to win. And I don't mean that as a shot at Texas Tech. That's more to do with like, no, that's not true. They do get West Virginia at home to end the season. So I'm sorry, West Virginia fans. I love you guys, but like, oof. This is one of Kansas's last two best chances to get a second win this season is against Texas Tech on Saturday. But I just don't see that happening.
No, like just because you say it's one of the better chances doesn't mean the odds are good.
It's the difference between like. 100% losing and like what are you, like and like 90% losing. That feels about right. The ranked unranked matchup in the Big 12 this weekend. Oklahoma State traveling to Texas for an 11 a.m. kickoff on Fox on Saturday. This is a big one. I think it's arguably the biggest game in the Big 12 this weekend. I know Farmageddon is a big deal, but again, undefeated Oklahoma State have been. Really good on defense, meh, on offense. They're ranked 12th. I don't think they're the 12th best team in the country, and they're my team. Like, I'm just being honest with you. Texas coming off their blown game against Oklahoma. I still think this is a good Texas team. The Lions opened. I think Texas was minus 6. It's down to minus 5. This is a big game. I will obviously be watching this one. Shocker. Look, I can't tell if it... I haven't bought into Oklahoma State all the way yet. The defense is good. I'm not arguing that. The win over Baylor looks better after what they did to West Virginia on Saturday. So I'm still kind of like, okay, maybe I can buy in even more. But I have had these conversations with my OSU brethren of this is becoming on par with 2015. For those who remember, go look at Oklahoma State's 2015 season. They started 10-0, and I to this day I cannot tell you how. The Oklahoma State started 10-0 in 2015. It makes no sense to me. Like, it's still the most, like, mind-boggling thing ever. I'm not to that point yet here with this Oklahoma State team, but if they were to somehow go on the road the next 2 weeks and win both of those games, that would be at Texas and Iowa State. Then I'll buy in. If Oklahoma State gets to 7-0, I will buy in. I will do it. But it's going to take that for me because of what I've seen.
That's the cutoff.
That's what I need. Like, I'm sorry. Like, Texas and Iowa State
to fully buy
Texas
in.
And Iowa State to me are still two of the better teams in the Big 12. Like, props to Baylor in that win, but going on the road and beating Texas and Iowa State, if you split them, I'll consider it. If you beat both, all right, let's see. Now I actually think the ceiling is incredibly high for this team, and their defense is legitimately like best in Big 12 level. But I want to see what they do against Texas. I think it's a huge, huge game.
Yeah, I think that's a rational way of looking at it, too. Like, I feel like people try to, you know, put so much stock in things early. Everyone always wants to know everything immediately. And, yeah, I think that that's a good way of looking at it. Like, I think this is going to be a heck of a game. And it'll, again, just kind of put more pieces into the puzzle that is the greater landscape of the Big 12. Like, there's a lot of pieces missing. But these kind of matchups between teams where we say, you know, they very well could be on similar levels. Let's see how this stuff shakes out. It just helps to kind of flesh it out a lot more. And so I think that, you know, we didn't get a lot answered this past weekend. I think this coming weekend, I mean, I want to say maybe the biggest game to answer some questions is that Oklahoma State and Texas game.
I have a sneaky suspicion we're going to see Red River again in the Big 12 title game this year. This weekend will either confirm that theory of mine or will crush it into a pulp. Well, maybe not, because, you know, we'll see. Last one, BYU traveling to Baylor. future Big 12 team at current Big 12 team, 2:30 p.m. kickoff on ESPN. Like, this one would be even more exciting if BYU hadn't lost an undefeated Baylor coming, or BYU coming in, but it's still, this is a big opportunity for Baylor facing off against the team whose offensive coordinator and offensive line coach they stole. BYU coming off of a loss to Boise that was really disappointing. So now BYU is looking to bounce back on the road to Baylor. It's the last non-conference game, and I'm very excited for this game. Like, this is at 2:30. Texas Tech, Kansas is at 3. Sorry, Tech. I'm going to watch this. I'm very intrigued to see how Baylor and BYU match up on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of really interesting storylines that go to this game. It's always really important to see how teams react after an unexpected loss. And so to see how BYU kind of bounces back. And I think it's so nice to have this kind of introduction, to have some of these kind of crossover games where we know BYU's coming, baby, but they're not here quite yet. But let's get a little bit of familiarity. Let's see how those teams kind of mesh together, how they match up, and start speculating a little bit more about what the landscape may look like when that merger is completed. But I am so excited for that game. I just love seeing bounce back games, and especially considering the performance that Baylor's put on, to have more really legitimate competition for them to go against, because BYU's still legitimate. Like, losing to Boise State, who's not a bad team to begin with, and again, rivalry game, like, a lot of rules go out the window there. And so to see how this game matches up will be very, very interesting. I think it'll be a super entertaining game.
The Big 12's new rivalry on display. These teams have, we say new because they seem to face off twice ever. 1983 and 1984, they split that series there. So just the third time ever meeting between Baylor and BYU. This will be a nice feather in the Big 12's cap and allow them, I believe, to finish with the best non-conference winning percentage in the country, at least among the Power 5 conferences, if Baylor gets this win over BYU. So obviously, big for Baylor, big opportunity for Baylor, big opportunity for the Big 12. I realize it's BYU, so it's not, you only get so much credit, but hey, we got a Big 12 preview this weekend. I'm very excited for it. All right. Do us a favor. Leave us a rating and a review. 5 stars if you don't mind, please. And if you leave us a review, I will read it here on the show. I don't think I've seen a new one in a while. It's been a little bit. So if you love the podcast, if you listen to it on a regular basis and you are an iTunes person, and don't get me wrong, I hate the iTunes podcast app. It's garbage, but it's what we all use until I can find something better. Plus, we get all the traffic from it. So if you're an iTunes listener, do us a favor, leave us a review, please. It really does help out the show. Make sure you are checking out every show in the 1012 network. Every show. You can find the full list at thelgg.com. We've got a spot there at the top, a little tab that says 1012 network. You can find every show in the network, all 6. Soon to be seven, our Oklahoma State show, Feels Like 45, will kick off this week with our two hosts, Cade Webb and Dustin Ragusa. So I'm very, very excited about that launching this week. So we'll have an Oklahoma State show welcoming to the 1012 network family. That brings us up to 7. And now we have school-specific shows for West Virginia, Texas, Kansas, and Oklahoma State. Oh, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. I am. Oh, and TCU. I just left out Funky Frog. I'm a terrible person and director of this entire...
How did you forget something as fun as Funky Frog?
I don't know. They do a good show. They really do. I love every show on our network. And I know I'm supposed to say that, but I really do. Like, it's good work. Go to thelgg.com. You can find the tab there. You can also find that in the bio of our Twitter account at 1012 Network, T-E-N, the number 12, the word network. Jamie, where can everybody check you out?
I am on all social media platforms at jstyz, J-S-T-E-Y-Z. This week you can find a fun special guest appearance. Our friends over at Bosco's Boys did invite me on to give our primer for Farmageddon. So I will be whipping that up tomorrow. Could I have done that at any point over the past like 4 days since they asked me, since neither of us played this weekend? Yes. Did I? No. So I'll be doing that. That episode will be out this week, so I'm super looking forward to that. But yeah, I'm everywhere. I'm most active on Twitter, but my Twitter is, as always, an enigma. Just like me, you've been warned.
Oh, you and Abasco's boys. Oh, oh, that's fun. I love those guys over there. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Like I said, rating, review. We will be back on Thursday for our next picks episode, and I'm very excited to brag about another winning week for moi. Be following me, folks. You follow my picks. I'm killing it. Be making money right now if you just listen to old Philip here. Doesn't matter if I brag or not. I'll have a terrible week next week. All right. Talk to y'all on Thursday.
Podcast Network.